A documentary about the construction of the Transcontinental Railroad is set to air on Wyoming PBS this weekend. The film will show how the building of the railroad shaped Wyoming into the place it is today. We're joined now by the film's producer, Tom Manning. He says before the railroad was built, there was no Wyoming.
Wyoming was part of Dakota Territory. It wasn't even a state or a territory itself. And when the Union Pacific came through in the fall of 1867, it hit Pine Bluffs, but it worked its way over to Cheyenne. And when it hit Cheyenne, they decided that they were going to make Cheyenne a division point, which meant that Cheyenne was going to be a city with a lot of railroad infrastructure. And when word got out about this, Cheyenne really, really took off. The people of Cheyenne were real boosters, and they very quickly petitioned to have a Wyoming territory. And Dakota Territory was more than happy to get rid of this far-flung suburb of theirs. So in 1868, as the railroad was being built across Wyoming, Wyoming got territorial status. And then, of course, from that point, it was statehood.
How did the railroad shape Wyoming into sort of what it is today?
Right. Well, without the Transcontinental Railroad going across Wyoming, of course, there would be no Wyoming. You know, it was quite a vast emptiness out there. None of the towns were there. There was some fur trappers and mountain men, and there was a little bit of gold exploration going on up at South Pass City. But basically, from present-day Cheyenne to Evanston, there wasn't much. And the fact that the railroad chose this route to go across Wyoming meant that this whole southern tier of the state was going to find population. And the interesting thing about the Transcontinental Railroad in Wyoming was, you know, usually transportation, that kind of infrastructure, comes into play after there has been a population centers, there's been people around. Well, this was one of the few instances where transportation preceded population.
Now, obviously, some of the towns along the railroad, places like Laramie and Rock Springs, still exist, still are very much towns today. Mm-hmm. Other towns don't exist anymore. What did some of these places do right to sort of stay on the map?
Yeah. Well, part of it was the what I talked about before was the division points. If the railroad decided that they were going to make this community into a railroad town, more than likely that town survived. Now, there are other places that were just more or less whistle stops. There was a town called Benton, which is about 10, 15 miles east of Rawlins. And Benton was a hellhole. Alkali dust was everywhere. Murders and shootings were everyday occurrences. Prostitution was rampant. And when the railroad was building there, all this was occurring. But the moment the railroad left, businesses packed up their tents. The saloon owners had packed up their wares. They packed them on the train and moved to the next end-of-track town, which were also called hell-on-wheels towns.
What was the most interesting or eccentric character that you sort of came across in researching this film?
You know, I do follow the Transcontinental Railroad across the state, and it's kind of this 1868 timeline. But in, you know, various points along the way, I kind of go vertically in time when a story connects with the railroad. And one of those stories I ran across was happened in Rawlins, and it was about this guy named Big Nose George. And he and a group of outlaw friends tried to rob a train, but basically they were inept and couldn't pull it off. So they retreated to Elk Mountain, and sheriff's deputies tracked them down, and there was a shooting, and all the deputies and the sheriff were killed. Big Nose George escapes, goes up to Montana, starts bragging about it. He's brought back down to Rawlins, held trial. They decide to hang him, but before they can, the citizens revolt and break him out of jail, take him down to the town square and lynch him. And they're as bad at lynching him as how Vignos was robbing trains. The poor guy's up there. They lynched him, had to lynch him twice. He was clinging on to the pole. Basically, he struggled and struggled, and it actually took his ears off, the rope did, before he finally died. But the interesting part of the story is these two doctors took the body, and one of them wanted to do research on the criminal mind, and so he did brain autopsies and all kinds of strange stuff. The other guy was bored, I guess, and had other motives in mind, and he had the skin removed and tanned and sent to Denver to be tanned, and actually had a pair of shoes made out of Big Nose George's skin. And lo and behold, this guy becomes the governor of Wyoming and wears the shoes to his inauguration.
Wow, that's quite a story. Yeah. All right, Tom Manning, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.